Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here today, and I wanted to start today by just saying thanks to all of you that have been praying for me lately through this treatment of prostate cancer. And I'm finished with the treatments, and won't know for probably a couple months down the road whether or not they were effective, but I feel good. And you know, they say there's some side effects from the treatments, but I really had very few of them. Even the nurses over at the place were pretty amazed that didn't have hardly any side effects at all. And they said, that's a very unusual. And I thought, that's not unusual when people are praying for you and God hears those prayers. So thank you, and I appreciate it, and look forward to good report here in a couple months. So, but turn in your Bibles over to the book of Joel, and we'll be reading one verse in Joel chapter 2. So Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it says, afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And of course we know that this verse is repeated when we get to Acts chapter 2, verse 17, when Peter is giving his sermon on the day of Pentecost. And maybe when we read this passage, our minds tend to go to Pentecost, and seems maybe it's more appropriate for that. But, you know, Peter said when he quoted this verse, he said, he began by saying it's in the last days these things would happen. Well, the last days could mean different times, obviously. It could be kind of a dual prophecy where it happened at Pentecost. Obviously, the Spirit of God came down and filled people, and some amazing things happened at the beginning of the church at that time. And it could be also that it's going to be another time when we get towards the end times, which we could be living in now. It seems that way when the things that we watch and see and things that are going on, we obviously could be in the end times. Or it could be, and I think it's probably a good way to interpret things, is, and especially in verses like this, is that we've been in the last days ever since that first Pentecost after Jesus Christ was resurrected. And, you know, obviously you could look at it either way, but somehow I tend to believe that we're in the last days, and maybe you do too. And so either way, these verses here in the book of Joel could apply to us today and should apply to us today. And it's interesting things that happen. It says, I will pour out my flesh on all people. Probably he's referring to believers. It seems like the Spirit of God comes on believers, not just on all flesh. So it seems though believers would have the Spirit of God. It says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. It doesn't necessarily mean you're making predictions about the future or saying things that are going to happen, but it's probably more about speaking God's word and boldly and proclaiming God's word to people that need to hear it. And you know, it wasn't just men that were doing that, but now it's going to be men and women that can boldly speak the word of God to other people. So they will be prophesying. Then it says the old men will dream dreams, and dreams tend to come when you're sleeping, and you know, we don't want to see the old men sleeping today, so you know, we don't want you dreaming today, but you know, it's easy to do after a big lunch like that. So stay awake, you old men. We don't want any dreams going on now. But he's saying the old men will dream dreams. And then the young men will see visions. And, you know, visions tend to be more things like when you're awake and you see things. And we take that literally when we see, like, the disciples saw Jesus transfigured in front of them. And we see Peter, it says he was put into a trance or he had a vision when the unclean animals came down, and you know, God was trying to show him not to call the Gentiles unclean. So, in a sense, we could say it's something like that, or maybe even a little bit beyond that, and that's what I'd like to focus on today, these visions. But you know, maybe it's kind of like daydreaming or dreaming of something that's great, you know, applying God's word to the future and letting that just soak into you and being able to express it out, and God revealing to you what needs to be done for His kingdom work. You know, that's a vision. That's what the Spirit of God does. It gives us that vision of what we should be doing and what's ahead. And this is a time of year when we start to look ahead. And You know, the Feast of Trumpets, we automatically start thinking about Jesus and His return and the trumpet sounding and, you know, Him descending and us ascending to Him, meet Him in the air, and you know, just wonderful things that we think about this time of year. So it's a time when we look to the future. And God's Spirit gives us that. We should have that with a focus on that, but also beyond that, that our goals and our dreams and our visions and our plans all need to come around that idea that Jesus is coming back. And I guess the question I would ask today is that true in our life? Are we doing that? Are we planning? Are we dreaming? Are we working towards a greater tomorrow? You know, trumpets is a day of expectation. You know, are we hoping and are we planning? Are we working towards that day of expectation? Well, 47 years ago, Martin Luther King gave a speech called "I Have a Dream." Maybe some of you were alive to hear that live, I guess. I was probably only 4 years old, so I don't remember it. I've seen it, you know, on tapes. And last night I took the time to read that text again, that message. I've always been enthralled by that. You know, it's probably one of the greatest speeches ever given, if you ever read it or listen to it. Just tremendous. And, you know, his focus was on the future. What could happen? What could be? And obviously he's talking about people of color and the issues they faced. And some of the young people here today probably don't see it as like it was back then. But, you know, there was a real... a lot of people that just, you know, if you had a different color skin, you were less than human almost. And it was sad. And, you know, this tremendous speech that he gives a hope of a better future and of what that future could hold. And, you know, I've heard it said, and I would agree that maybe all of us at some point should give I Have a Dream speech. You know, especially maybe those that are in front of a church on a regular basis speaking. You know, we need to communicate vision. And we should have a dream, and we should have a dream for the church and what's ahead. And we need to express that. We need to have a dream like that. And, you know, that expresses to people that we talk to, and even in your own personal life and personal ministry, it expresses what God has laid on your heart when you can express that you have a dream. Well, there's a few generalities I'd like to make about these dreams and visions, just to make some points, and I've pared this down a little bit since, you know, I'm only supposed to speak for 15 minutes. So that's hard for a preacher to speak for 15 minutes. I'm usually pretty short-winded, but 15 minutes is a challenge. The first thing I'd like to point out about vision and about dreams and dreaming ahead is that, you know, that it's very important that we do it. And turn over to Proverbs 29. It's very important that we have visions. You know, obviously, people have taken the idea of visions and visions that weren't, and we'll probably speak about that in a second point here, but, you know, people have taken visions that they supposedly got and have made some strange claims and started false religions over them, but it's very important. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." And the King James, I think it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." But a better translation would probably say, "Where there is no vision, the people do cast off restraint." When there's vision, when there's a focus, it keeps people in line. It keeps them focused on God. It keeps them focused on the things of God. It keeps them on the right track. So vision's important within the Church of God, within any organization. You got to have a focus. You got to have a vision. And we need that in the Church of God. We need things that keep us on the right track. And it's interesting if you compare, the last verse in the book of Judges. We could turn over there. It's Judges chapter 21, verse 25. If you compare that last verse there I know you're all familiar with this verse, but we come down to the end of the time of the judges, and it says, "In those days Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit." So there was no vision, there was no visionary leader in the church or in Israel, and people just did what they wanted. You know, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And, you know, that's a recipe for disaster when everyone's, it's anarchy really, when somebody just decides they're going to do something and they just do it. And then if you turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and This is right after the judges. Matter of fact, Samuel is considered one of the judges. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions." You know, we see that there was no vision. God was not giving any revelation. And people were just doing as they pleased, and they weren't listening to God and what He was saying and the focus they would have. So it's important that we have vision. It's important that we can have something to focus on and to keep us on the right track. Well, second point about visions, if you have a vision of some sort, maybe it's in a dream. I'm not going to discount that God couldn't speak to people in dreams or to give you a vision more, maybe not into a trance idea, but the idea that God has just laid something on your heart and you say, this is what the church needs to be doing. But you need to bounce that off of others. You know, too many people have gotten into trouble by not bouncing it off other people. There's a story of a young woman who brought home her fiancé to meet her parents. And after the dinner, the mother said to the husband, the mother said to the father, take this young man out in the living room and talk to him and see, what are his plans? What's his future like? And so the father starts to question this young man. He says, well, what are your plans? And the kid says, I'm a Bible scholar. And the father says, well, a Bible scholar, that's great. He says, it's admirable, but what are you going to do to provide a nice home for my daughter to live in, one that she's accustomed to? And he says, I will study, the young man said. And he said, God will provide for us. And how will you buy her a beautiful engagement ring such as she deserves, asked the father. He says, I will concentrate on my studies and God's going to take care of everything. And what about children, asked the father. How are you going to support your children? And the man says, don't worry, sir, God will provide. And so the conversation proceeds like this. And, every time that the man asks the young man a question, the guy comes back and says, God's going to provide. God's going to provide. Well, later the mother asks, well, how did it go? And the father answers, he has no job, he has no plans, but the good news, he thinks I'm God. So, Proverbs 15, verse 22. Proverbs 15. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. In the multitude of counselors, there's much wisdom. There's wisdom in counsel. And when you have a vision of something, you need to bounce it off somebody. You need to take the time to talk to a trusted friend, an elder in a church, a pastor, a parent, somebody, your husband or wife. You need to take that vision and say, do you concur with this? Do you think this is possible for the church or, the plans that we have? And it's good to do that. It's good to bounce things off of other people and to make sure that you're thinking right. So, obviously one of the big examples would be a guy like Joseph Smith, who started the Mormon church. He had a vision, supposedly, and he just wrote the thing down and started preaching it. And of course, there's a big church that follows them visions today, but it's a false religion. It's a religion that's based on somebody's vision of something that seems to me almost satanic. So we need to be careful about that. And the third thing I'd like to point out today, just again, there's probably some other things to be said today, but when you think about visions, think about bigger themes. Remember the big themes. Visions and dreams can be specific, obviously, but make sure they mesh with God's overall large plan. The things that are eternal, the things that are exalting God, the things that are building the church. Those are the things that, do your visions, or the things that you want to do for the Lord, do they fit in with God's overriding huge plan? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you remember that kind of a theme. That, you know, is this something of heaven sent? Is this something that's part of God's bigger plan? Is it something that is exalts Him? And when we have our visions and our dreams of things that can be done, you know, think about that. Is this building treasures in heaven? You know, it's interesting in Martin Luther King's speech, he said one of his dreams, and which really was the last one, he quoted Isaiah 40, verses 4 and 5. We can turn over there and read it real quick. I hate to try and quote it without without reading it. But he quoted this, and you know, he goes down, you know, he has a dream where, you know, all these things that would happen, especially with you know, people being respectful of each other with in regards to color and opportunities and things of that sort. But in the last part of his verse, and there's a lot of scriptural allusions in that speech, but he quotes Isaiah 40, verses 4 and 5, and it says, "Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low, and the rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." You know, and when we have a dream, does it fit in with that kind of a idea? You know, that every mountain and hill, you know, will be made low, and the ground level, the rough ground will be made level, and you know, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Does, you know, our vision, does it reveal God's glory? You know, I hope that it does when we have our dreams and our hopes. Well, let's go to one final verse, 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll read verse 9. And Paul is speaking here about the Spirit of God, and he says, in verse 9, he says, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." And you know, we often hear that verse talking, people quote that and use that in a future sense, you know, that after Christ returns, this is what, you know, we can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like. You know, our we can't see it, we can't comprehend it. You know, we just don't understand what it's going to be like. And, you know, we just can't even imagine what God has planned. There's two things I'd like to point out about this passage. Is first of all, it's not speaking of that time period. I think it's speaking about today. It doesn't say, it says about things that God has prepared for those who love Him, but God loves us now, and He's preparing things now. He expects things now. He has visions for us that He gives us now, and dreams and to accomplish within the church and building the church. So it's not necessarily just a futuristic thing, but it's immediate. It's the immediate future. And then also, if you read verse 10, and you people quote verse 9 all the time, but they never quote verse 10. It says, "But God has revealed to us by His Spirit." So he's saying, you know, our mind can't conceive it. Our, you know, we just can't begin to understand it. But God says with His Spirit, we can begin to understand what He has prepared. And, you know, if those things are now, if it's not necessarily futuristic, but the things that are now and maybe the next week or maybe the next year, you know, he's saying His Spirit will reveal it to us. And He wants us to be about doing those things. Through visions and dreams, He gives us those things. So, you know, He does His work through us and reveals what He wants done. So my challenge today would be is to say that this is the time for dreaming. This is the time for visions in the church. You know, there's a bunch of different churches represented here, and each local church ought to have a vision. You know, you have a mission statement. You should have people in the individual churches that have an individual ministry and a desire to see God's kingdom proclaimed to others. And this is the time. And this is the time that I think even Joel was speaking about, you know, and Peter as well, that this is the time when the Spirit of God will come upon us and we'll prophesy and we'll speak God's word with power and we'll have you know, we'll dream dreams and we'll have visions, and God has given those things to us. So let's be about doing that. Let's capture those visions and dreams and be faithful in accomplishing God's purpose that He's called us to do. Thank you.